Hi, thank you for joining us on Path and Posture. I'm your host, Mariah Turner, here with my sisters, Brittany and Sierra Turner. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hey.
So we are talking tonight about revival and Asbury and all the things that you may have heard on Facebook, Instagram, news media.
TikTok,
all the things. So Asbury, for those who don't know, is a university in Kentucky that met for their normal weekly chapel on February 8th. And it went for 16 days because they just didn't want to stop worshiping.
They felt the Spirit leading them to continue.
And it caught the attention of so many people because these students were staying all day and all night and just falling on their faces, rededicating their lives to Christ. And so people started asking questions. Is this real? Is this legit? What is this? Never seen anything like it. Well, there's a history of revival in our country and in the world. So the girls and I thought it would be interesting to not only touch on Asbury and what revival looks like, why it could be happening. We want to also look at revivals in the past and what correlation they all have, what similarities, what stirred in the hearts of people for them to happen. And so that's kind of going to be the topic this evening is what is revival? What does revival mean in us? What does it mean in our communities? And what have we seen recently happen with revival in regards to the past as well? So we had to do a little bit of research. God bless research. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
That's my favorite part.
Researchers.
How is this your favorite part? I'm trying to research revival in the United States. Okay, the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, the third Great Awakening, Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, all the things. And this was 1805 and 1776. And there's so many dates.
That's why I was the history major.
Can you imagine not having Google?
I was thinking.
Yes, I can. Because in my classes, I had to use books.
It's so important to know history and to know what people have experienced, the way that the spirits moved in the past before for different denominations, different churches, the ways that we've seen God move in our nation. And honestly, there's no class in your school that's going to go through all the different awakenings and revivals. And so this was a lot of new knowledge for me. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of drowning in it a little bit, but it was good because it was great to take it in and feel like, okay, I'm learning something for this. And, you know, I feel like you walk away just knowing a little bit more about the way that God's moved in the lives of other believers. Right?
Did you guys not have any sort of touch base on
When we went to Regent, there was, you know, some stuff in maybe like our theology classes and everything. But
I think also just the fact that we're spirit-filled and, you know, we are, I guess if we were to align, we're non-denominational, but we kind of lean toward more Pentecostal. Mm. And so they have, you know.
That would be the Azusa Street Revival.
Right.
In California. That's where that came from.
I went to Azusa Pacific University.
You did. But they, you know, I love that, you know, they're not their focus, but I love their theology centered around the Spirit and just kind of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I know that there's a lot of skepticism that comes with that, but I also know that Pentecostals are just rocking it in the evangelical.
And so much of everything is a balance. It's a balance between moving in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit and worshiping in the Spirit, but then also knowing the Word and diving deep. And as people would, I feel like, say that's the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism and just like the difference.
I'm so proud of you right now.
I won't tell you the full definition of either of those, but I know the thought processes that go with them. And that's, again, that's come about from a lot of this research that I did for this topic. And so it's good to dive in and to learn something new and just become sound in the knowledge of our faith and the ways that it's moved through our country and through history.
And, you know, whatever denomination people do tend to fall under, you learn about the origins of that denomination, how it kind of branched out of others just how like the Methodist movement and the Baptist, you know, denomination all sprang from
different revivals and awakenings. Yes. And, you know, it's always important to acknowledge that even though you may not identify with a certain denomination, or you might have church hurt with a certain denomination, that area, that denomination could also be a place where someone found Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to recognize that Christ meets people everywhere. We have a friend who got saved in the Mormon church, mm-hmm. and she goes to church with us today. She's not Mormon, but that's where Christ pressed on her heart, and she was just there with a friend who had brought her, and it stirred her heart and her mind and her affections for the Lord, and so she dove deeper and found him and is now walking with him and following him. So same thing with the Catholic Church. So many people love Mass. They love the reverence that comes with that, and you know, there's people in, that love churches with drums and churches that don't have drums.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's important to recognize that with all these different revivals and movements, so many different denominations maybe like came out of that. And Christ is still at the root of it.
He needs to be at the center of every conviction revolving these revivals.
Reading on about
repentance and salvation.
Yes.
Humility. Those are all the things. And we'll talk about this down the line here.
Yes. There are, it's interesting too, because there are those who may abuse the idea of a revival or an awakening.
Oh, and there has
been. And they take it and they run with it.
Yes.
And there's strange things happening at some of these meetings. And you're like, okay, that's not the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just something that happens.
Well, here's the thing. So this past month, I got a lot of text messages, and it seemed that, you know, everybody's trying to figure out what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And what I commended everybody, you know, anyone that texted me or anybody that was willing to have a conversation, they were putting in the work,
you know,
they're trying, they're asking questions, they're putting in the work, they're doing the research. Mm-hmm.
They're not just reading headlines.
They're not just spouting their own opinions. Mm-hmm. They're asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so it is so good, because not everybody at that revival at, you know, and Asbury is there with good intention, right?
That's true.
Some people were there to try to get the fame. Some people were there to make a, you know, take a picture and put it on their Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to know what is the heart of this revival? What is the cause and the start and the root?
Mm-hmm.
And what is keeping it thriving? Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not Instagram posts.
And spreading to other campuses now, Baylor University, like other colleges.
Oh, yeah, Baylor. Yeah. So what is the cause, the root?
Yes.
The sole purpose of these revivals.
I'm glad you asked, Brittany. So with that, we will look at a history of revivals.
With that note.
Well, okay, so first off, definition, revival. What is revival? It's an improvement in the condition or strength of something. It's also an instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again. So with this respect, revival is a revival of faith. And like Brittany said, and hope. And I said, yes. Well, when you have faith, you have hope. We have hope in Christ. Faith, hope, and love. There you go, Brittany.
I said it in that voice.
Oh, and it's hope.
Don't forget the hope.
Yeah, it's hope. It is hope. It's a revival of hope because of the faith that we have and a rededication
and
of that
love.
Faith.
Faith, hope, love. Yes. Reasons remain.
Yes, I would say it's a revival of conversion to
a commitment, like a rededication of your faith.
A personal commitment.
Yes.
To faith in Christ.
Yes, I agree. So why do these revivals come about? I think after looking at the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the Third, and different things that happened in the 20th century, it's always in the wake of self-reliance, self-importance, materialism, maybe devastation from a stock market crash or war, things of that nature. So when that pendulum is extreme, when humanity is 100% self-reliant and looking at themselves as the idol, as the God, as the solution to the problem, when they are the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I told Mariah, I love this quote from Ali Beth Stuckey in her book, "You're not enough and that's okay. The self can't be both the problem and the solution. If our problem is that we're insecure or unfulfilled, we're not going to be able to make the antidote to these things in the same place our insecurities and fear are coming from."
Yes. And so we become awakened. There's a movement. The spirit moves somewhere. And so with the First Great Awakening, that was in 1730 through the 1740s. It was all through the colonies. And there's, you know, the teachings of Jonathan Edward, which he was known for, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," very powerful teaching. And he was a traveling ministry as well. So it came about as a result after the Enlightenment period. And so if you know anything about the Enlightenment, it's a huge shift from the spiritual thought. So whereas people used to get sick and they think, oh, God's angry, it became, oh no, we're learning about illnesses and germs. And so there's a shift from a spiritual aspect of thought to a logical. What is logic? So there was an emphasis in medicine and knowledge. And so that became the route for people to seek instead of a spiritual thing, which I mean, it's great. It's human knowledge, and it's a lot of it is truth, but when it becomes the center and the hope, that's when I think humanity started to err on a bad connotation. Like they cannot
doubting Thomas's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. The skeptics and all things. So with that, yes, we had the first great awakening. With that, there was also a lot of teaching from Whitfield, and he's another great speaker. The second great awakening kind of ties in with the first, and it appeals to anyone and everyone. So whereas the first great awakening worked itself through the church, the second appealed to everyone. It gave birth to ideas that were also greatly expressed in the third great awakening. And you know, the great thing about all these awakenings is that they changed our society. We had the temperance movement, the anti-slavery movement that came about with the Underground Railroad. We had women's rights, Salvation Army, the YMCA, all these things came about after people were awakened to their sin. They were repentant, or they rededicated their faith. And then there was just this movement for caring for humanity, caring for others, right? And being the hands and feet of Jesus. We saw universities come out from all these awakenings as well. So when it comes to awakenings and revivals, how do you experience that? And that was the quickest little history lesson I'm ever going to give. Sierra, would you like to add? Historian, would you like to add?
Brittany and Mara are going to give me a chance to give an explanation, a historical account on the first and second great awakening, which I believe provides better historical context for the listener on how we can tie in previous awakenings to what we're experiencing now. So with that, Brittany has given me a timer for 5 minutes, and I'm going to try to quickly and not boringly give you
you are a great teacher.
Give you more historical context. So
ready?
Yes.
And go.
First of all, I'm going to tie the first and second great awakenings together. So Puritans, you know, they came over from England and they came for religious freedom, but fell into a religious sleep. The Puritan zeal for building God's kingdom on earth turned into a zealous pursuit of earthly riches. Benjamin Franklin's bestseller at the time was Way to Wealth. You can see that the mentality was personal gain. And so as Mariah was talking about, material prosperity comes a turning away from the Lord, which you can see in the Old Testament as well, through the Israelites in multiple accounts. Puritans were losing members in their church, and they created this idea of a halfway covenant, which allowed children to have a partial membership, children of full members to have partial membership, in the hopes of one day pursuing full membership. However, the church then failed to distinguish over time between full and partial members, and with the Age of Reason came about a culture of intellectualism. And so the First Awakening was the idea of personal conversion experiences to faith in Christ, and that was introduced through Theodore Freeling Houseman, a Dutch Reformed pastor. And many churches had minimized this idea, and men actually during this time joined the clergy as a professional choice and never had experienced a conversion to Christ and never preached on it. And so the Bible speaks about being dead in sin and being made alive. Believing in Jesus Christ to be saved was the message of the First Awakening, which cut across denominational differences and stirred people out of religious complacency. Now I want to mention a couple more people, John and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield. They emphasized Bible studies, personal conversion to Christ, and a methodological approach to Christian living, which was known as the Methodist movement. They met together for mutual improvement by confessing their sins to one another, visiting the sick and poor. They were known as fanatics among the people of their time, and because religion to the general public was orderly and rational and calm. But with the Great Awakening, there's a fervor and emotionalism. And a few decades later, there's splintering of multiplying of denominations. But with the First and Second Great Awakening, it brought the New Light congregational churches, which embraced the teachings of Whitefield. And he was kind of like the first Chosen series. It's kind of like what we're seeing now with the Chosen series, where so many people are watching this theatrical display of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So Whitfield traveled and spoke to from 15 people to 20,000 people at a time. And he spoke without having something prepared. He spoke to slaves and farmers so that all could hear and understand. He was dramatic and enthusiastic with his speaking, and he portrayed the apostles and other biblical leaders theatrically and captivated his audience.
It makes it tangible.
And so that is what he did. He made the Bible tangible to not only people that were sitting in a church, but like I said, slaves, Native Americans, anybody who was willing to listen was able to receive the gospel.
Yes.
And in some ways where we can see how social media is affecting how we are perceiving revival at right now through the Asbury Revival, or, you know, whatever is happening at your local college campuses like Baylor. The modern version of social media back then was a newspaper. And so George Whitfield and Benjamin Franklin actually became friends, and Benjamin Franklin was only interested in the pursuit of money, but he was a newspaper publisher. And so because George Whitfield's sermons were interesting to the public, he started to distribute them in order to make money off of them. But historians believe that this is one way that the revival spread so well for the first and second revival, because the 13 colonies read his messages through the newspapers.
But look at that's what's happening with Instagram.
Yes.
I think what's spreading. Interesting is when you...
Did you get it?
I got it.
That was 5 minutes.
There you go, Sarah. There's your 5 minutes of fame.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're good. What's interesting when you research and you learn about revivals and awakenings, like Sierra, you were name dropping so many different teachers.
I skipped some.
Well, there were still so many. And I wonder, are there teachers from Asbury? Like, what makes Asbury so unique? Is it just the worship aspect where people were just worshiping for days? Or is there a name that will surface of someone's teaching that
helps? Is there a sermon?
Well, I think
the hearts and affections.
The fact that there have been multiple revivals on this campus is kind of like predisposed to...
I will say, when I first
marinated
Asbury pop up in my newsfeed, because I have some friends in Kentucky, and it was like, revival to Asbury. I'm like, okay. I, sadly, met it with some skepticism.
I think a lot of people did, because skepticism right now is like...
At the forefront of everything.
Well, you have so many people...
You cannot trust anything.
You have so many people renouncing their faith. You have so many heretics.
Well, I think this is what a result is when someone lives their truth. Because if you are in complete denial of the truth in order to accommodate someone else's truth, you're going to face some skepticism. Because if I approach you, Mariah, and I say, hey, I'm a tiger today, this is the truth I want to live, obviously you're going to be like, well, she's not really a tiger, but I'm just going to say, all right, you do you, boo. You know, there's going to be some skepticism that's just naturally going to come about. Like, hey, I can't trust this chick.
I guess. Well, you know, there's also the question.
She thinks she's a tiger.
A lot of people, they think, oh, is the spirit still moving? Is the spirit still alive? And I yes, absolutely. I believe that. And I believe in the Holy Spirit and that he's living and breathing in me. And
I think.
I like that you brought up truth. Because my next point is, how do we even experience revival? How does it occur? And it's produced by the truth. It's teaching the truth of God's word. It lays the groundwork for revival. And so when it comes down to having a revival in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they tell us the same thing. You humble yourself, you seek God's face. Mm-hmm. And that's when something changes, something happens. And that's either a rededication or a stirring of the spirit.
It's one of the things that I look for when I do see revivals popping up is there repentance?
Yes.
Is there humility?
You have to be willing to yield everything. In confession.
Is it confession?
Confession, getting clean, and surrendering, I think, are all huge and needed steps in a revival of your faith as an individual, as a community, and as a nation.
If you are, in fact, decreasing, humbling, confessing, repenting, that is decreasing of self.
Yes.
Because that is the opposite of what yourself wants to do. Like, sin nature wants pride.
Elevate.
To cover.
Yeah.
To cut, like, to take, to elevate. And if you are doing the opposite of that, there's then the Holy Spirit has so much room to move.
Yeah.
He increases. It overflows.
Ultimately, revival is God's work, not man's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you're decreasing, then his word, I mean, there's room for so much.
So in regards to what's happening today, when we talk about how in revival's past, there was a reliance on self, there was human knowledge that was a distraction, or, you know, all those similarities in where was the thought of humanity when a revival happened? When the Spirit struck, where were we? There was depravity. There was maybe war. I think about how isolated and alone we were in 2020, right? There's still so much feeling of just being isolated and alone and struggling. So there is that depravity, right? We need an awakening, a revival of our spirit, of our hope. And then also there's just the idols of ourself.
Well,
again, looking at ourselves as the solution to everything. And whether that's with our experience with medicine, that we're going to find a medicine to save humanity, well, and it doesn't work or something.
How much, you know how the Bible says that the rocks cry out, you know, that creation cries out.
I was just thinking about that verse the other day.
But no, like how with humanity being so focused on self, how much are we neglecting creation? Mm-hmm. And so with us neglecting our purpose here to care for, how much louder is it crying out to the Lord to come and deliver humanity from itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also wanted to take a moment and commend Asbury for finding the balance between leadership and freedom, meaning that, like, they allowed the students to worship, but they also didn't go into erupt chaos. You know, like, they did not rupture into chaos. They maintained control over what they were. This is what I'm saying. They were tasked to keep order, tasked to maintain and to allow the Spirit to move. You know, not hinder it, but also not say, like, you know, allow the human nature to take kind of control.
Yeah, no, there's examples of that in past revivals of when people came out acting all kinds of strange.
Well, and there is some sort of pushback to status quo that comes with revivals, which is the point of challenging the status quo, because a lot of times the status quo becomes complacent.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance to challenge the status quo, but at the same time, not deter so much into emotionalism.
Mm-hmm. So what does revival look like in us as individuals? Because we don't need to be on a college campus with hundreds of people crying, and we don't need to be in a tent in the middle of a field for a week-long celebration of faith. Those are good things, and they're great things that have happened in the past and that are currently happening, but revival in you can occur at any moment. It's a rededication, a refocusing, a repentance, a confession of sin, and turning your heart and your face and your posture, here we are on path and posture, toward Christ and living a life of Christ as the center. And so revival in our communities, it starts with us as individuals. And so that's my question for the listeners and for ourselves today, is what does revival look like in us? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to confess? What do I need to leave behind and press forward toward the prize? And that is hindering me. What is hindering me from my pursuit of faith in Christ?
Pursuit and decreasing of self. So I, I read a recent article a friend sent to me on from Gospel Coalition called "We're All Apologists Now," and by Timothy Jones. And one of the quotes he says is, that God uses apologetics to shape a community that persists in holiness, love, and gospel proclamation. No matter how vast the gap may grow between us and our culture, the gospel remains, quote, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, end quote. And he references Romans 1:16. And I think the same as, you know, he uses apologetics, he uses revival. You know, he uses revival to shape a community.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, Asbury is being shaped by this revival for his holiness, for love, for gospel community. It's not something that happens for 16 days and then all of a sudden the Lord's Spirit, like, leaves. No, it's, you know, we are called the body of Christ for a reason. We are to continue his works, to continue his Spirit moving.
Well, I mean, just the fact that Asbury had to, you know, close their public part of the worship session because the students have midterms this week, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's hard to balance spiritual revival with the everyday
commitments,
assignments and
responsibilities.
And so, but
the revival being a mom, right? Like we have to get up and we have to feed our kids. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be on my face praying and singing to the Lord, but I have to take care of my kids, right?
Yes.
Like, well, and that, students have to go to
school. That is worship in itself.
People have to go to work. It is worship.
Prayer without ceasing. Yes. And so, but what I was trying to say is that the revival hasn't stopped. It's look at all this conversation that's happening across the nation. And
I
so,
mean, yeah. One, and I, you know, and that, I want to honor Asbury too, because like if you attended there, you know, that's great. And if you traveled there, that's amazing. I'm glad you got to experience that. But there are so many people that couldn't travel there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to feel hopeless that they weren't able to experience God move.
No, that's why we're saying you can experience God move in you individually, and then you be that catalyst in your community. And one thing that is important to recognize is although history can be cyclical and there's ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and it just seems like a cycle, the trajectory path of humanity is ultimately downward.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sobering reminder that we're not going to get better.
Right.
We're not promised a better. And so should we as believers expect revival or social decay?
A better in relation to the world. And we are promised a better as far as heavenly.
No, yes. Yes, we have eternity and hope in Christ. Yes. But this world is broken. It's corrupted. Mm-hmm. And this we will never see a utopia on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So I want to read Matthew 24:10 as a reminder. And Jesus says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and they will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. With that in mind, I love the description that John Piper gives about being that revival, being that strong, standing, firm faith amidst the trajectory of humanity, which is like a slow-moving glacier just going downhill. And it's icy cold. It's not love. And he says that he is this torch, this flame, that whenever this ice surrounds him, he melts it. And I think that's the picture that we as believers with these revivals that are sparking up and flaming, that's what we're doing. Even though we know this world will come to an end, we mm-hmm. know that there will be deceivers and that there will be liars and that love will grow cold. We are promised hope and eternity with Jesus, but we will experience some hard things while we're here on earth. And so we're called to be that torch amidst the icy glacier that's passing by, mm-hmm. which is the downward trajectory of humanity. And so do we expect revival or social decay? It's both.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see both. Mm-hmm. So when you see these revivals, you think, oh, it's great, and it's going to go away. It's like, no, it doesn't have to go away. You still live it.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, there's been such an uptick in a deconstruction, faith deconstructing
mm-hmm.
from people moralistic therapeutic deism.
Yeah.
You know, the people
which is treating God like a genie in the sky. He just wants me to be happy and be a good person.
Like happiness versus holiness.
I'm gonna good things from him.
And then, you know, and also not believing that God is good. And so for this to happen and for us to see a community coming together, this is what it was, a community of believers that started this through coming together and humbling themselves and just being present with the Lord. That can happen in every single community, any group of believers that that come together and that operate in that way. One of my favorite words in Hebrew is avoda, mm-hmm. and I've spoken about this before, but it means to work, and serve and worship together. Like it all means for the Lord, and it's their word for work, but it's a lifestyle for them, meaning that as they work, as they worship, as they serve. It's all for the Lord, and it's all in one word. And I love that so much, because it reminds me that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, revival is happening in me if I allow it, mm-hmm. Through my work, mm-hmm. through my worship, through my service, because I'm doing it for the Lord.
And you're ready to work. You're uh-huh. ready to worship.
And he's going to do whatever he wants
yeah.
through that.
And you're speaking of ready to work and ready to worship, ready to give service and ready to have revival in you. Ready. It's a song yeah. that you have written on revival, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It is. I wrote it actually in
2016,
when there was increasing discord in the nation, in America.
As our prayer.
As a prayer. Yeah, it was my favorite part of this song is in the lyrics. This is, and our pride will come undone, because it was just, and it was something I found in myself. It was something I was finding in posts of opinions as they increased, because you have to understand that social media, especially like Facebook, it was still fairly new, especially in 2016. It was only 10 years old, And so this was the first.
It's hard to believe that we're in 2023.
I think it was
right
the first
now.
Or second. It was the second presidential election that had social media as their like main kind of thing. And so there was a lot of troubling things I was seeing on both sides. And so I wrote this song, and I kind of kept it in my catalog until Echo, and which is the reason why we started this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's our family book that explains for, you know, individual choices that we made as a family and how it created communal reactions. And so Echo was supposed, or Ready was supposed to be on this, in this creative catalog that we released in 2019, and 2020 hit and COVID happened.
Yeah, we had this idea to release all these songs that were within the creative catalog of Echo.
Uh-huh.
The seasons of Echo. Once 2020 hit, you know, music studios closed uh-huh. down. You can't, when everybody's afraid of germs, you can't sing into microphones. So
yeah. And then it was also, you know, just I had a lot of kids in my house for a long time, and so it got put on the back burner. And it's just crazy how revival hit, and we had mm-hmm. recorded this about 2 years ago mm-hmm. on the money, and it's been sitting. And we finally were like, hey, you know what? Let's just release it and see how it resonates with people.
Yeah. One of the other lyrics in there is Jesus, here we are. And, you know, mom just wants to remind you, Brittany, and remind all of us to remind you that wherever here is, we're ready and you are ready to yes. rededicate, to confess.
So
to
the
repent.
Song is, it talks to,
it doesn't have to be at Asbury.
It speaks to the Trinity. It's the first verse is Jesus, here we are. And then the second verse is Spirit, here we are. And then the third is Father, here we are. Mm-hmm. So it's speaking to all aspects of the Trinity mm-hmm. and what each does. And it's biblically formed, correlates to each part of the Trinity. Whereas, you know, the Holy Spirit brings conviction mm-hmm. and, you know, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really cool. My mom was fantastic at kind of just formulating this whole song.
Well, she always to is be fantastic biblical. With her gift of writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spirit moves through her.
Yes.
So that's going to be our little treat at the end of this podcast. We're going to share that with you guys.
And it's on all
streaming
places
platforms
that you can get
oh,
music.
And it's on, except this is our first time we're releasing it instrumental.
Yes. Oh, yes. We're going to be releasing an instrumental version.
We did.
Yes. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's on Amazon.
That's probably
it's
one
also,
of our biggest requests.
We also have a little snippet for TikTok. None of us have a TikTok, but for those who do,
you can send
it's
it
on
us.
TikTok. So, you know, and
through screen record.
And we wrote this song. The melody was kind of geared towards a younger audience as well. It's more of that modern, we would say a modern contemporary
ambient
sound to it. Mm-hmm. We have plans in the future to release different versions, but
oh yeah,
but it we just
my favorite
found
version
it,
is a candlelight version.
Found it ironic that we geared it towards, you know, a younger
Gen Z
younger audience, and here they are starting revivals on their college campuses.
I'm so proud of you,
go Gen Z, go! Yay!
So we hope you guys enjoy the song. But before we close out the podcast, I do want to pray and just thank the Lord for this time that we've had together to just discuss the ways that He's moved in history. And the ways that He's moving currently and the ways that He will move, if you allow it, and he will move wherever you are. You don't need to be part of a huge movement on a college campus. You can be alone in your bedroom. You can be sitting in your car listening to this and think, it's time. I'm ready. Father, Spirit, Jesus, here I am. I'm ready. And revival starts in that moment. And it starts with that confession. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive. And repent, turn away, and you'll see him in a new and fresh way. I guarantee it. And, you know, we're not guaranteed a life of easiness and freedom when we, well, you know, we do get that freedom from sin, but there's still a struggle when we choose to follow Jesus. But there's hope. That's the difference. So many may have you believe that you follow Jesus, oh, your life's going to be so easy. It's going to be so much better. Jesus never said that. Mm-mm. He said, nope. In this world, you will have trouble, but take hope because I have overcome the world. That is your hope as a believer in Christ. So hold fast to him and just know that you will never struggle the same because you will never be alone. Everything that you have endured, he has endured. And everything you will endure, he has endured. And so you are the victorious one because he has overcome. Mm-hmm. That's the hope as being of being a believer. That's where we place our faith.
I saw a meme the other day. It's with it's Aladdin. It's where Jasmine throws back and goes, "I am not a prize to be won," and someone memed her salvation. And then the camera switches to Jafar, Sultan, and Aladdin looking at her like, "Whoa!" And it's Jafar is like moralism, the Sultan is the law, and Aladdin's church attendance. Because it's true. It's like salvation is not a prize to be won.
No. And so often we've tried to make it that. It's salvation and salvation mm-hmm. and just a little bit more. And you can never work for it. It can never be earned. It's freely given.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. And it is a free gift. Yeah. And I think it's really nice to be reminded of that, especially when you are a longtime believer and you are working in that that sanctification process, you know, you forget how refreshing justification is through salvation and mm-hmm. through Jesus. It is refreshing, and we want that for you.
All right. Father God, I thank you so much for this unique outlet of a podcast where we can discuss the incredible things that you have done, that you are doing, that you will do through the body of believers who have recognized your son Jesus as Lord and have chosen to follow him. And Lord, I pray that we would be flaming torches amidst the glacier of humanity that's on this cold downward trajectory. But Lord, we are bringing beacons of hope. We are lights and cities on a hill. And Lord, we ultimately know that this world is not the end, that there is more to come. And that's where we have our hope and we have our faith in you. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, who has reconciled us to bring us to you. He didn't just wash away our sins and leave it like that. No, he ushered us into your presence if we would accept him. And Father, I thank you so much that we are joint and co-heirs of the throne because of him. And he asks us to share not only in his death and resurrection, but his victory. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to experience revival in ourselves. I pray that we would have an awakening of our faith in Jesus Christ, and that it wouldn't be our version of Jesus or our version of truth, but it would be the truth, the Jesus Christ, your son, that we have chosen to follow and seek after, the one in the Bible, not the one that's convenient. And so, Lord, I pray that we would dive into your word, that we would see what you have to say, that we would see how much you love us and how much you love us so much, and you love us just the way we are, but you love us too much to leave us that way. And you know that our true hope and our true joy is when we are conformed into the image of Christ. It's not our happiness, it's our holiness that brings true joy. As much as the world would have us be distracted by happiness and all the things, whether it's our culture and our music and our movies and our social media and our lives and our friends and the alcohol and drugs and just reckless behavior, they think, YOLO, live now, do it now while you have this life. It's a distraction. It's a lie. And those are all temporary highs that leave us empty. So God, I pray that we would have a revival in our mind and in our hearts to seek after true joy, which is life in your son, Jesus. And Father, I ask that you'd help us to live boldly. It's against the grain. It's against the current. We're going against the glacier. And Lord, I just pray that you would comfort us in that. Help us to stand firm in our faith, strengthen our backs. Don't take away the pressures of the world, but Lord, strengthen us amidst that pressure. Help us to learn amongst trials and tribulations that we have been told will come. And Lord, give us community. Give us a community of like-minded, strong believers to help us to stand firm and to encourage us and to strengthen us and empower us to live for the glory of your kingdom. Thank you for Path and Posture. Thank you for our listeners. I pray that they would have a blessed week and a blessed time until next time when we come again to speak more about the different paths that you have us walking on, the different posture that you are calling us to have as we walk those out. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Here's our new song. Hope you guys enjoy.
Jesus, here we are, ready for your mercy, ready for redemption, ready for you. We stand here with broken hearts, ready for your healing, ready for your blessing, ready for you. Our pride will come undone as your spirit falls on us. Spirit, here we are, ready for your comfort, ready for your leading, ready for you. Stand here with open hearts, ready for your power, for conviction, ready for you. And our pride has come undone as you, Spirit, fall on us. Of the cross, we're ready. Revival come. We're ready. Revival come. Oh, 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 ready for the change, the things you'll do. We're ready. Raise us up to life. Make us new. We're ready. Raise us, make us all that you are. Ooh, change us, make us. Father, here we are. Ready for your glory, for your gifting, ready for. Change the things you'll do. Raise us up to life, make us.